I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday, here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. On our Faith Friday segment, we talked about how evangelicals can seem a little crazy. Yes, they seem obsessed and fearful about sexuality, but they seem obsessed and fearful about an awful lot of things. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe they don't become that way. Maybe they already are a little bit crazy. At least that's a possibility presented in a study published in the Journal Neuropsychologia. And what they claim is that the attraction to religious fundamentalism may in part be the result of a functional impairment in the part of the brain known as the prefrontal cortex. That turns out to be a very important part of our brain, but the study suggests that the prefrontal cortex is damaged in particular areas that indirectly promote religious fundamentalism by diminishing cognitive flexibility and openness. That means that things like curiosity, creativity, and open-mindedness are diminished in these people. And based on my time at an evangelical Christian high school, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They seem to have some real issues with curiosity or being open-minded or thinking for themselves. And sure, part of that is that you're frequently told not to think for yourself. You let your religious leaders and the Holy Spirit do that for you. Now, science is not a rigid system of beliefs. Its very nature is to question the world around you and to question your assumptions and look at them, see if they hold up to rigid examination. And there's actually no shame in being wrong. Yeah, it may make it less possible for you to win that Nobel Prize that you want. But being wrong is just a part of science. And as we learn more, we update our understanding of science. Religion is the opposite. It's fixed and rigid, and it promotes predictability and coherence to the rules of society. You're not going to learn something new about God that fundamentally changes your understanding of God. Evangelicals stick with what they know, or believe that they know, and in fact, belief becomes more important than actual knowing. So what seems to be the case is that there is a lack of cognitive flexibility. This allows us to update our beliefs in light of new evidence. And it's a really important skill for humanity as a whole. But for evangelical Christians, they have a bit of a problem with cognitive flexibility. Now sure, you can learn to be inflexible in your thinking, and a lot of the behaviors of evangelicals can be learned. But there does seem to be a solid link between misfunction in certain parts of the brain and those who are strong adherents to evangelical thinking. And so what happens is that the people with these issues, they're stuck. They cannot get out of evangelical Christianity. There's no escape because they can't think or feel their way out of it. But people who, you know, usually through your parents you wind up in this belief system, people who are open-minded and have cognitive flexibility, those people can get to the point where they can leave, whether it's to another less rigid religion, a less irrational faith, or no religion at all. And here's what it looks like, is that brain trauma, psychological disorder, drug or alcohol addiction, or a particular genetic profile where you have some limits to your cognitive flexibility, all of these things are factors in attracting people to religious fundamentalism. Now, in this study, they claim that this amounts for about a fifth of the variation in fundamentalism scores that they studied. And if you read a lot about the thinking of evangelicals, you do come to the conclusion there's just something not right mentally with them. And that is true, but you also have to take into account that there's a certain amount of insanity built into it. They live in a world of demons, of literal monsters, and they're constantly under attack, and their friends are constantly under attack. It's a very fearful place. So evangelicals can also be people who are fearful, and evangelicals tend to use fear as one of the motivating principles for their followers. We also know that fear is one of the primary motivators for those with more conservative beliefs. There have been many studies that demonstrate that. What we do need is a study that looks at why evangelicals are so easily manipulated around a fear of sex. They are obsessed with abstinence-only sex education and being anti-gay and anti-abortion and anti-premarital sex, and they just seem fearful of it in general. And that may just have to do with the fact that this is a primary impulse for us and that it's an easy thing to manipulate people who are already fearful. So there's a whole lot more research that needs to be done. It's my guess that when you look at the core of everything that motivates evangelicals, it's fear. All right, we had the March for Life. That's the 46th annual one in Washington. And the one thing we know when we have the March for Life is that we're going to get a lot of misinformation. And it's important to understand, the anti-abortion movement is an extremist movement. With a fearful anti-sex agenda in general, if they really wanted to stop abortions, they'd be doing everything in their power to increase the availability of contraception. But they do just the opposite, because what they don't want people having is sex. And if they do have sex, they better have babies. And if they have babies, they better be married. And the one thing that seems to be true for all extremists is that they lie, and they go to great lengths to lie. They even set up their own kind of fake organizations that sound scientific. There's the Charlotte Lozier Institute. That was created in 2011 by this Susan B. Anthony list. And they're one of the leading pushers of myths about abortion, claiming that they do values science. Well, science is about truth. It isn't about values. But when you so consistently distort the truth, I don't know about your values so much. And there's also the American College of Pediatricians. Sounds legitimate, but no, it's really an anti-abortion crackpot group that the Southern Poverty Law Center considers a hate group. Besides hating abortions, can you guess who else they hate? Yeah, it's gay people, of course. So the result is that always, throughout the year, but especially when they have their March for Life, there's a lot of misinformation that is thrown out there. So I thought we'd just take a few minutes to look at that stuff. One of their core messages, and there's a whole bunch of different ways they approach it, is that abortions are extremely unsafe, when in fact they're absolutely the opposite. They're one of the safest procedures out there. The latest full data we have is from 2014, and the CDC looked at 252,639 abortions. It's a lot of abortions. Out of all of those, 6 women died from complications. Now, those are a tragedy, but it's still a very, very small percentage of people have serious life-threatening complications. And yet you have doctors like Dr. Byron C. Calhoun, who sort of make it a career to spread misinformation about how dangerous abortions are and that complications from abortion are common. They are actually not. And in a 2010 study on abortion, Medicaid abortions in California, it was less than 0.25% of the people had serious complications. Nonetheless, there's still a lot of these so-called medical experts who go about claiming that abortion is dangerous, and they go talk to a lot of politicians who listen to them. Rewire News has a great false witness database listing many of these ready and willing to lie doctors. And of course, they go on and on about partial birth abortions. You know, there is no such medical term. That was invented by the anti-choice movement. Dilation and evacuation are the most common second trimester abortions, but the anti-choice movement wants to ban all second trimester abortions, and they use their imaginary terms like partial birth abortion and dismemberment abortions. And they've gotten this terminology accepted, especially in the political sphere, even though it has no medical basis. And they claim it causes women mental and physical health problems. And this has been really, really, really well studied. No, doesn't. Then they claim that a fetus can feel pain 20 weeks after fertilization. No, science says no way. But the whole goal is to ban abortions, if you can't ban them entirely, which is the ultimate goal, but to ban them at the point where once a woman knows that she's pregnant, it's going to be too late for her to get an abortion. So they want these bans to go earlier and earlier, to the point where most women don't realize that they're pregnant, and if they don't do it then it's not going to be legal to get an abortion. And that's the key idea behind the heartbeat bands, even though pretty medically meaningless. What they call a beating heart, it's not really a developed heart at that point. But that's the problem. I mean, almost all the anti-abortion crowd are motivated by religion, very conservative religion, and though we've got mountains of science to show that what they're saying is wrong, the other study we cited this week shows that all that science isn't going to change their mind.